No one said entrepreneurship was easy.
But honestly, let's be real about it.
Hi, my name is Varun Balsara.
And I'm Luke Nellicliffe.
And we are the hosts of the Human Entrepreneur Podcast.
This is the podcast that unmasks the human behind the entrepreneurs.
We uncover the skills they have learned.
Lessons they wish they knew earlier.
And stories that will motivate, inspire, and sometimes shock you.
Entrepreneurship just got real.
Welcome to our show. Hey Luke, how's it going? How's everything?
Yeah, it's going well, thanks Varun. Yeah, had a great episode last week with Ben West and I'm really excited for everyone to be listening to our new episode with Molly. But before we crack into it, what do you have to say to our listeners?
We've not done this in a while and, you know, going through our ratings on Apple Podcasts and we've got 51 ratings, Luke. And it just gave me goosebumps. It's just amazing. And I think what we should start doing is reading out these reviews and giving special thanks to those that have taken the time to, you know, give us a rating. So the first rating I'm going to read out is by Minali. She says, thank you to the entire team of the Human Entrepreneurs. You are amazing. And thank you for sharing these informative podcasts. Minali, if you're listening to this, thank you very much. It means a lot. Your reviews do mean a lot to us. And we do it for the essence of just spreading the word. So thank you, Minali. Thanks a lot for sharing this.
Yeah, thank you, Minali. We really appreciate it. And yeah, if anyone else wants to give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, if you like us, please do.
Yeah, and I think spread the word. I think our conversations are so, so inspiring. I think previously I mentioned this to you, Luke. I consider this as therapy in a way, podcast therapy. Maybe we should consider changing the name of the podcast. But anyway, onto the meat of the conversation, presenting to you Molly Lamborn.
Looking forward to it. Nice. Today we're really lucky to be joined by Molly Lamborn. Molly Lamborn is a graduate from the University of Warwick studying history, and she's now studying fine art at the University of Creative Arts, Canterbury. Further to that, Molly is a student entrepreneur as she is the founder of Sophie Stokes. This is a slow fashion jewelry company which makes 100% of their product from recycled plastic. And she's currently an artist resident at the Cordial Eye Gallery in Massachusetts, part of the Mouthing Off artist team, and the winner of the John Dalton Award in drawing. Molly, thank you so much for coming onto the show today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much. And that's a really nice introduction.
What's your elevator pitch whenever you meet someone?
Oh, gosh. I guess I would say I'm Molly. I'm a fine artist and I'm also an entrepreneur. I run a slow fashion business specializing in 100% recycled plastic charms. Passionate about drawing and about using art to bring joy in people's lives.
That's an amazing introduction, Molly. And, you know, we've started asking all our guests this. What is it that makes you a human entrepreneur?
Being an entrepreneur is not an easy thing. And I think we shouldn't always just pretend we're successful all the time. So for me, when I do interviews and people ask me how things are going, I'm not just going to say, you know, it's all amazing, it's all perfect. I will happily tell people that I'm constantly learning, I'm constantly making mistakes, but that also means I'm always improving. So it's actually a positive thing. You know, I feel fear and anxiety as much as anyone. Even though I'll appear very confident and you go onto an Instagram page and it seems like very perfect. Of course, there's a lot of work and a lot of hours that go into that. I'm always looking to make new friends and support people in business and learn more. So I think that's what makes me human.
Yeah, I think you touched on some very interesting points there. One of them is you feel fear. I like how you said you feel fear and anxiety just like everybody else. I think that's the essence of being human and being an entrepreneur. And I think many of us forget that because we see these successes or so-called overnight successes. And then we realize that, you know, behind that, there are tons and tons of hours of work, a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. And just want to go back and understand your story, because I know that entrepreneurship until very recently wasn't on your radar and you found inspiration. So talk me through what happened and what was that journey like?
Okay, well, I guess before I went to university, I found this amazing scholarship with Lloyds Bank and I was a Lloyds Scholar. So I'd gone through this whole application process and it meant at university, I'd do two internships at a bank And at the end of it, if I wanted, there would be a job. And for me, coming from a working class background, this was amazing because I would be earning more money than both my parents when I graduated. And I thought, wow, this is incredible. So I had in my mind, I'd go to university, I'd have an amazing time learning lots about history, lots about women, and I'd come out of it with this really good job and a really good pay, and I'd never have to worry about money. The problem with that is, of course, while I had an amazing time and I absolutely loved working at the bank, I met really lovely people and I can't fault that, but I wasn't passionate and I wasn't feeling challenged. I think I struggled a bit with my mental health, basically, and I thought, you know, I can have everything. It's like everything's been handed to me perfectly and actually I don't want it. So I realized what was missing and why I was struggling with my mental health is that I completely repressed this artistic side of me. And before I'd been at Warwick, I was making art constantly and then suddenly I just stopped. And I mean, I really had stopped. So that built up and that actually really impacts you. I got to my second internship and in that summer, I was just incessantly making. Like constantly I'd come home from work and I'd be drawing and drawing. And I was thinking, how can I actually do this? Because I felt at the time, I've missed my chance. I've not gone to art uni. I can't do this. You know, I've done a history degree. That means I can have many different jobs, but art isn't necessarily the direct and obvious choice. I was thinking, I'm learning all these amazing business skills at Lloyds. Why not set up a business? And that's where Sophie Stokes sort of came in. So I started making lots of very pretty designs and I wasn't really sure exactly where I was going with it, but I went back to uni in September. I had a careers meeting. I was told about Warwick Enterprise and I thought, okay, I can get funding to set up a business. So this should definitely happen. So I came across the idea of Sophie Stokes because I also wanted to be a fine artist. And that also sort of came to me because I thought I want to do a business. I love the challenge of that, but also I still want to be a fine artist and there's no reason I shouldn't be. So there became these two sort of dreams. But with Sophie Stokes, yeah, I applied for business funding and then also in that time I applied for my master's. So I thought there's going to be two parts of my identity. So my fine art's a lot darker and maybe a lot more honest and explorative of, I guess, having anxiety. It's just very honest and Sophie Stokes is sort of my alter ego. It's like me on my best day. It's like the ultimate bright, positive self. So yeah, I guess it was sort of repressing that creativity. And then suddenly I went into my third year of university and I knew I had to do art. So I just went for it. I applied for a master's. I applied for funding. I got both, which was insane. And from then on, I just started practicing and learning. And as I say, making a lot of mistakes. But I'm still here a year on and it's going quite well.
And talk to us about how did you overcome those mental health challenges that you were going through in like your second year and maybe ones that have come about since then?
I think I struggled since first year, but it wasn't really until second year that I admitted what was wrong. And it sounds a bit bizarre that the art was what was wrong. I mean, there were things that factored into having mental health issues from when I was younger. The reason I'd always dealt with it so well and got to an amazing uni like Warwick was because I was making art and that sort of helped me. So in second year, yeah, I guess I was still, I tried lots of things, you know, like tried university counselling and it never really helped me, which sounds, I don't want to be scathing, but like, it sort of felt like, and I'm a very positive person. So I'd go in there and I'd be like, yeah, you know, I've done everything you said, you know, I'm going to the gym. I'm doing all these amazing things that you said they're going to boost my mood and I'm feeling really good. I feel like maybe it'll help. And they said, well, that's fine then, you're doing great. You don't need our help. I was like, no, I do need your help because I need someone to talk to. Because you can do all the right things that they tell you to do and absolutely you should do those things and they make you feel good, but part of the reason we try to go to counselling or get support help is just because we want someone to listen. And I just felt like Warwick never really had someone there to listen. So but with Sophie Stokes it became something I could talk about and something that made me feel very happy. And it became a way as well for me to maybe become more honest and talk to people about me and about my story and why I was doing it. when I was talking about my art, I felt more comfortable saying why I was designing things a certain way and why I would use certain colours or why I draw with so much pattern obsession. And that was my gateway to then talking about mental health and becoming a bit more honest with my friends and family as well. So I think it helped, yeah.
It's such an interesting story that you have there. It's almost as if you're trying to like combat mental health with art. And then that in itself became your muse. And then that in itself became, you know, that muse for the business. And in a way, you know, you've used that to your advantage. And now you're an entrepreneur who's using your art and making a business out of it. So I think that's really cool. What is the relationship between art and anxiety, if you maybe want to touch upon that? Because I know of something called as art therapy, but I don't know much about it. But what's the relationship between art and anxiety, and how does it help?
Well, I've never done art therapy. I think I've always sort of therapized myself in a way. But there's a few interesting links in sort of art history itself. You've got the outsider art movement, which is very much focused on individuals who often have mental health issues and draw through that. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm an outsider artist as such, but there's a strong sort of history of art being something that helps people. I mean, even, you know, quite famous artists like Grayson Perry or Tracy Emin, both of them have had issues with their mental health, had very sort of traumatic things in their life. And how they get through it is through expressing it sort of non-verbally through their art. And for me, I guess my connection is, it's sort of like a companion. So when I draw, it helps me sort of center myself, and I'm having maybe difficult thoughts, but I can sit there, I can draw and work through those emotions. And almost like I describe it as like a pen being this sort of cathartic transmission unit. So it's kind of like there's this negative energy and it's being released onto a page, and at the end of it, you end up with something very beautiful. So I think especially with my fine art, it can be mistaken. Initially, people think it lacks a bit of depth, but often it has a beautiful surface and maybe sort of a less pleasant reality. But that's wonderful, because I like to see the best in everything. And I think with my mental health, using that emotion to create something beautiful then means the issue, whatever issue it is in my head, becomes resolved.
I just love it. It's so unique. Yeah, there was so much. I've never really thought of it that way. Wow, it's... Thank you for that insight. It's really cool how you've used art to explain yourself. Now you're building a business out of that.
Thank you.
Molly, what's your relationship with the corporate world now? Is it something that you'd never want to venture back into, or you want to forever be an entrepreneur, or yeah, how do you kind of view it now?
I mean, I think I was sort of very naturally suited to the corporate world, because I'm just very hardworking, and I love being around people. So I love that environment, but I think I'm just quite independent. So I like working for myself. But I think I still have such fantastic relationships with Warwick University. I'm currently doing a commission for them. And I think as an artist, I still value the things you learn within sort of corporate environments, like professionalism and meeting people and networking. Anyone that thinks sort of art in general is separate from all that, all those values that you'd learn in a corporate environment or an office are so essential to being an artist, because art is essentially running a business. And no artist wants to tell you that or admit, but you still have to do all the marketing, you still have to do networking. It's all very much quite similar, but obviously the difference is that in your day-to-day life you're creating, and there's more of an outlet to be creative and to have that independent side. So yeah, I mean, I'm still happy to work with corporate clients and be involved in that world, because I learned so much from it. I'd never shut it off.
Being an entrepreneur must have taught you so much. What are the top three things that you've learned from your journey so far?
Success doesn't happen overnight. So I've been working away at Sophie Stokes for a year in the fine art for maybe like 9 months. And I'm fully aware, like I'm still quite a long way from things properly taking off. So I guess knowing that and having patience is one of the top things. Also, a lot of discipline. So when you work for yourself, you have to have that sort of routine. and you have to force yourself to do certain things. You know, you have to make sure, even though you're working alone, I try and collaborate and do things like this. I try and interact with other people where I can, because otherwise it's sort of like you become in your own vault and you don't interact with other people. And I love interacting with other people, so I have to make sure that's still part of my day-to-day life. So I try and, you know, schedule calls and stuff throughout the week, so I'm not just working on my own all the time and going crazy. Third thing, I guess not to fear failure. So I know even if this didn't work out, I have learned so many incredible things. I mean, leadership skills as well, because you become your own boss and your own leader. And you have to learn how to organise things. And I can't, there's just so many valuable skills I've learned that I could never fear failure, because I haven't failed. I've just learned, you know, this has been a year long, it'll be longer process of learning. So, you know, maybe Sophie Stokes doesn't become a successful business, or maybe the fine art doesn't work out. But I don't think those things won't happen. But if they didn't, on my worst day when I was thinking that, all those amazing things I've learned, this hasn't been a waste of time.
Yeah, I love that. It really plays into that whole growth mindset of always learning from any failures or step backs that you have to take. Molly, I'm really interested in talking about creativity now. I've been looking at your website and the designs that you've produced for Sophie Stokes, and they're absolutely beautiful. Do you think your creativity comes naturally to you?
Yeah, I do. I've been drawing since I was tiny, and just drawing ever since. I mean, even when I didn't really do art, in the first couple of years at uni, I'd still be sitting there in lectures having something on the go. So I'm the sort of person as well, late at night I'll just have a sudden creative burst and I'll have to do something, and once I start an idea I can't rest until it's done. So I don't know if it's possible for creativity to be innate, but it feels that way.
That's interesting. Do you think it's something that you can develop then, or do you think everyone has a creative heart within them, or do you think some people like you are born with it and those are like the creative people?
No, I think everyone's creative, and the worst thing I hear is when people look at my work and go, oh, I can't draw, I wish I could draw. And I think you can draw, you just don't have the confidence. And also, I think people have a very specific idea of what art or beautiful visual things should be. But everyone's creative, and it may not be drawing. For example, my dad constantly tells me that, oh, she got her creativity from her mum. But actually, he's incredibly creative. You know, he can do all this DIY stuff. And or some people are just really good at cooking. And I think there's something creative in that. Even going out and gardening and planning out your garden. I don't know, there's just so many ways. And also creativity could be when you're an entrepreneur as well. It could just be having a really good solution to a problem. Like, creativity is not just producing artwork. It's so many different things. I think everyone's creative in some way.
Yeah, I think you raise a very nuanced point, Molly. I think the way you define creative people is what makes the person creative or not. But I fundamentally believe that everyone is creative in whatever they do. You know, you can be creative being an accountant. You can be creative being an entrepreneur, like you said, or being a musician, or doing something in the sciences. I think the way you define creativity is what makes you creative. And I want to go back a little bit and explore the whole idea of mental health. You said that you used art to come out of your anxieties and fears, and but then you used it to, you know, heal yourself in a way. For those people out there that really are fearful and anxious, what is the advice that you would give them if they haven't yet found their way of expression or an anxiety busting activity?
Art was a very sort of subjective thing for me to help me through. And I do think that there's certain things, until you find that particular thing that's going to help you, just make sure you talk to friends. You don't have to open up your heart, but just talk to them about something. Just get out your room and don't put too much pressure on yourself. So, like, you know, some days if you have a shower and that's all you do, that's a great day. And don't ever undervalue that. You know, it's just be kind, be easier on yourself. Try and do the things that you know will help you. Try and eat healthily, try and go out for a jog or something. But also when you don't do those things, just, I guess, train yourself to be kind. And that doesn't happen overnight. I think one good thing, and this is if you're creative or not, you can just open up maybe like a journal and you can just write in there and just keep writing and don't think. And you can write 10 lines, I don't know what to write. And then eventually stuff will start coming out. And in that, you'll learn more in that moment, maybe what bothers you. And over time, you'll know certain things that are maybe at the core of your problem as well. For me, it took me a while to realise that probably not doing the art was one of my biggest issues. So the clear thing for me to fix that was obviously to actually make a go of it. And so I didn't live in regret rather than, you know, just not doing it.
Yeah, 100%. I think journaling plays a huge role. I think in Luke's life as well and in my life as well. It just helps with, I don't know, it's probably just a stream of consciousness that just comes out. And then eventually, you know, you start uncovering these patterns and themes in the way you think. And eventually, you know, you start understanding what's bothering you. So I think, yeah, definitely journaling is a good long-term habit to cultivate just to understand yourself better, 100%.
So Molly, just to wrap up the podcast, we ask all our guests a quick fire, rapid round of questions. So are you happy to take part?
Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. So what's your favorite book?
Great Gatsby.
What's your favorite podcast?
Human Entrepreneur.
Your favorite song?
Oh God. Sunny Afternoon by the Kinks.
And what's your favourite movie?
Favourite movie? This is so much pressure. I'm trying to think. I can't think.
What's your favourite artist?
Grayson Perry. No hesitation there. It's too many good movies.
What's your favourite art movement?
I guess I quite like surrealism.
What's the first thing you do when you wake up and the last thing you do before you go to bed?
When I wake up, I make some tea immediately to wake up. Before I go to bed, I usually write down 3 things I'm grateful for that day. That just helps me go to sleep and I think it's been a good day.
All right, Molly, and we're going to wrap this up with asking you for your top 3 tips for someone without a business background that wants to start something and has an idea. What are the top 3 things you'd recommend for them?
Do loads of research. Think about your competitors and suppliers and all that stuff. Just research before actually doing anything. Make sure you choose something you're actually passionate about, which sounds obvious, but don't do something just because you think it will make money. Do something because you actually care. I guess network. And that doesn't mean just people in the profession, but even just friends that you know you can lean on and support will support you for everything and you can talk about your business plan with, even if they know nothing, just someone to bounce ideas off.
Awesome. Molly, do you want to tell our audience about the discount code?
Yeah, sure. So thank you so much for listening to me. So you can use the code HUMAN10. And you can get 10% off at Sophie Stokes as a thank you for listening in today. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, Molly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. If you enjoyed it, drop a review wherever you're listening to this. And for weekly content, subscribe to our podcast channel. And for more updates, check our social media channels attached in the show notes below. Thank you very much.